Rabbi Beryl Wein is a historian, a teacher of Torah, a lawyer, a columnist, and a popular Jerusalem lecturer. In the program Wein Online, he talks about the meaning of the Torah portion of the week. Rabbi Beryl Wein, what parsha of the week are we talking about today?
This week's parsha begins the third book of the books of Moses. The parsha is Vayikra, and the Chumash itself is called Vayikra as well. You'll notice the Vayikra, the Hebrew word, which consists of five letters. The last letter is an Aleph. Vayikra means to call, right? God called unto Moshe. In the Sefer Torah, in the scroll that we read from, the last letter, the Aleph, is written minutely. It's not written in the same size as the other letters of the Torah. It's a small letter. And our rabbis taught us from there a lesson regarding the entire Chumash of Vayikra. We all know Vayikra deals with sacrifices, with offerings to God, with asking forgiveness, with feeling an obligation towards God and towards others. Well, that can only happen if a person has at least a modicum of humility within him. There has to be a sense that there's something greater than me, because if there's nothing greater than me, then why should I give an offering? Why bother with the whole thing? It's only me. And therefore, the small Aleph is a symbol of humility. But it's a symbol of humility of Moshe, of the great Moshe Rabbeinu, of the man who gave the Torah to the world. And there's a beautiful midrash. We read in the Parsha of Kisiso yet that Moshe's face shone to such an extent that he had to wear a mask. People couldn't look at him. It was like radioactive. He had to wear a mask. It was like going into an X-ray machine. So you have to have the lead protection. Where did his face shine? How did it happen? So the rabbis give varying answers to the question. He was up in heaven, etc. Okay. One of the answers was that Moshe wrote the Aleph with a small letter because he did not feel worthy the right that God called onto him. So he had a drop of ink left in the pen, in his quill, and he took it and he subconsciously ran it through his hair. And from that little drop of ink, his face shone for the rest of his life. And so there the lesson of humility is exhibited, that a person with true humility who doesn't write big, who doesn't push himself, but is satisfied to have a lesser place, so to speak, so then the person has not only a shining face, he has a shining soul as well. And that idea of humility is repeated over and over and over and over again in the Torah and in Judaism. The rabbis say that the Lord cannot stand arrogant people, can't deal with them. God can deal with sinners, but arrogance is a different matter. And you'll notice that all the dictators in the world are megalomaniacs. They're arrogant beyond words, right?
But let me ask you, how does a regular human being balance this need for humility with, at the same time, a person needs self-esteem?
Both things are true.
What does the Torah teach us about that?
The Torah teaches us that we have to realize our self-worth. There's a famous example that the great Rebbe of Kotz gave. He said that in one pocket, a person has to have a piece of paper that says, the whole world was created for me. I'm it. In the other pocket, he has a piece of paper that says, I'm dust and ashes. What am I? What value am I? And he said, the trick in life is to put the right hand in the right pocket at the right time.
Right.
And that really is the measure of a person. I always used to say, you know, you come to somebody and you say to him, I want you to serve on this committee. He says, oh, me? Why me? I'm not cut out for it, etc.
Right.
You know, and then he comes and he says, well, why didn't you give me this honor? Or why didn't I get this recognition, right? So that's putting your hand in the wrong pocket at the wrong time. And it takes training, and it takes a sense of a sense of proportion. You have to see who you really are. A humble person. I mean, if Yasha Heifetz would say, well, I can't play the violin, that's not humility, that's idiocy.
It's false humility.
False humility. It just doesn't exist. But on the other hand, if he says, because I'm the world's greatest violinist, therefore I'm an expert on religion, I'm an expert on economics, I'm an expert on diplomacy, that's already, you push the envelope. That's not true. And that is always the danger. So self-recognition, self-worth is extremely important. But unless it's coupled with humility, it gets out of bounds. And that's what we call an artistic temperament.
Finding the right balance between humility and self-esteem. Thank you very much, Rabbi Beryl Wine. We'll talk again next week. You've been listening to Rabbi Beryl Wine talking about the Torah portion of the week.